Each of the family members and friends is very appreciative of your attendance today. To give thanks with us for the life and the testimony of Mr. Clifford Black. To express your sympathy to the family and assure them of your thoughts and prayers at this time. To Clifford's siblings, Norman, Janine, Lorraine, David, Nigel, Marinda, and Orville and their spouses and the wider family circle and friends, we extend our deepest sympathy today and assure you of our prayers. If you'll turn, please, to the order of service, to the first item of praise, that wonderful hymn, Face to Face with Christ, My Saviour, Face to Face, What Will It Be? Let's stand together, please, as we sing. Very glad to have along today at this service Reverend Calvin Stripp, the interim moderator of our Ballyclare congregation, And he's going to come lead us now in prayer and then read scripture to us.
Let us all pray. Our Father and our great God, we come again into thy presence, and we do so through the matchless and the peerless name of our blessed Saviour. We thank thee as we come to thee today that thou art almighty, that thou art thrice holy, and we give thee the glory and the honour as we come and we bow before thy name. We come through the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee for him, and we thank thee for that all-atoning sacrifice, that on the cross he shed his blood, gave his life for his people, and laid down his life for the many. And Father, we praise thy name for him today. And as we come, we must come through that work. And Lord, we must proclaim that lovely name, for there is no other name to bring before the throne of grace other than his precious name. So we do so today, and we give thee glory and honor for our blessed Savior. We pray, Holy Spirit, that thou would presence thyself with us today. May we have that conscious sense of thy presence as we come to worship thee and give thee thanks for the life and testimony of our dear brother Clifford Black. Lord, we ask that thou would be pleased to undertake for the family circle. We pray, Father, for Norman and for Janine. We pray for Lorraine and also for Nigel and David, for Marinda and Orville. We pray also, Father God, for their spouses, for their children and their children. And as they grieve today, Lord, we ask that thou would be pleased to touch them and help them in their grief. And through their tears, Father God, may they see Jesus Christ, the righteous one, our brother Clifford's Savior. For he was his Savior, and he is his Lord. And we thank thee, Father God, that our brother Clifford is in the arms of his Savior today. No more pain, no more suffering, but in the bosom of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for all of the remembrance that we have of our brother. And Lord, what a challenge it is to our hearts as we ponder over the brevity of life today. And Lord, may that thought challenge us as thy people. May it challenge us as Christians. And Lord, may it challenge the unsaved today that there is coming a day when we will meet with a thrice holy God. So, Father, we ask that thou would bless the complete family circle, all of the friends that are gathered here. Comfort them one and all. And may, as our brother testified, may this be a praise service, not to a man, but to the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. May this be today a day where we lift up the name of our Savior. We ask, Father God, for all those who will take part, that thou would bless them, each one individually, especially our dear brother as he lifts up thy word. We pray that thou would give him help, that thou would give him boldness in thy word and as he preaches. And Lord, may we listen intently. May we not be just hearers of the word, but may we be doers. And may there be today that lost sheep gathered into the fold as they look upon a lovely Saviour, may someone even today in this house trust in our brother Clifford's God. Our Father, we ask today that thou would bless us and meet with us as we continue on in this service now, for we ask all of these things in the name of our blessed Saviour. Amen. Our first Bible reading today will be taken from Psalm 23. And just as you're looking up Psalm 23, I would like to just mention that as the interim moderator of Ballyclare Free Presbyterian Church, that our brother Clifford Black was a regular attendee of our congregation in Ballyclare for a number of years. And on behalf of the session of Ballyclare, the committee and the congregation, may I offer our sincere condolences to you as the family. May the Lord bless you and comfort you in this time of loss, knowing that our brother Clifford is with his Saviour. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second Bible reading is taken from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and the verses 1 through to 6, concluding with verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. And we know that the Lord always blesses the public reading of his own inspired word.
Well, can I thank Dr. Brown and the Reverend Stripp for their contributions already in this service of thanksgiving for the life of our dear friend, Mr. Clifford Black. Clifford had many interests, and especially in Christian circles. And over recent years, he has taken a great and a keen interest in the work of Crown College UK. And we are delighted that many have travelled from England, all arts and parts of England, to come at the request of Clifford. As you would know, he made all his arrangements and had everything in place. They've come, and they're coming now to sing. They're going to sing their first piece, Complete in Thee, and then immediately after that, our brother, Pastor Derek Moorland, is going to speak words of appreciation. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you as you minister in song.
Privileged to be with you today. Clifford was very special to us. I think you know more than I do, but he was a very unique man, and you never had to wonder what he was thinking. He didn't have much of a filter, did he? Well, that was one of the things we loved about him. I can imagine him sitting there giving us a good critique about our singing even now. We are not a choir. We are a group of laborers, as many of you know, in England. The Lord has called us to minister there. Most of these men are pastors, church planters. But we all, most of us as students, met Clifford in the United Kingdom studying, or when Clifford came to the States to speak to the thousands of students that he would when he came. And he always left a lasting impression. It occurred to me the other day that although Clifford never had a wife or children, he has influenced more young people than most people do in their lifetime in a very remarkable way. Clifford had a great zeal for evangelism and reaching the lost, and it was contagious. You couldn't help but be around him and be stirred. I loved to hear him tell stories. The last time we were here, he would ride in the minibus, stand in the minibus, and just tell story after story about revival, story about missionaries, and stories about all sorts of things that would convict us, challenge us, and every time he would end up in tears. And it was a conviction to each one of us that we weren't more tender to the Lord. It's interesting to me, one of the things I was speaking with Pastor Clarence Sexton and Mr. James Zinker over the last couple of days about Clifford and his involvement with us in the United Kingdom and there in the States as well. But Mr. Zinker said, if there's one word that would sum up Clifford's life, especially in regards to our connection, it would be that. He was a man of connection. And he seemed to know somebody in every field of life. And no matter what you needed, he knew somebody. And I got a man, he said, or that man, he'd say. And several vehicles were sent over to us in the United Kingdom for some of these poor missionaries over here. And he would always be sure to take good care of us. He always knew somebody. But he, from the very beginning, connections with Dr. Paisley, connections with Dr. McCrae, he was just always working connections. And although he wasn't a man of great means himself necessarily, he had an amazing gift of connecting people who were able and willing to support God's work with those who were a part of God's work, pioneering, laboring in it. And he was that sort of middleman. He knew how to find those genuine people who were not squandering the Lord's money, but in great need. And he would be able to connect them to people who wanted to support the Lord's work. He was unique at that. And we are indebted. Just the last telephone conversation I had with him a week ago, this past Monday, we were talking about the connections that he made that enabled us to raise necessary funds in the work in the United Kingdom. And through Clifford and through his friendship and his connections, well, I say nearly £1 million was raised through that man, one man. Now, he didn't have £1 million to give, but he knew other people who did. And he made those connections. I think it's not an exaggeration to say that everything we have been able to see accomplished in England and now in Wales is directly connected to Clifford's friendship and influence. From the very beginning, he has been involved. And therefore, because of his hand, his friendship, because of God's providence in bringing our lives together, he is directly connected. We will never forget his kindness. He will forever be remembered by this team, by his desire to see Bible preaching churches established, to see the lost won to Christ, and young people encouraged to serve the Lord. And we are forever grateful for what he has done for the Crown Christian Heritage Trust and what he's done for us individually. And we believe wholeheartedly great is his reward in heaven. Thank you for letting us be here. The last three times I spoke to him on the phone, he wanted to talk about funeral arrangements. And I said to him, Clifford, I don't want to talk about your funeral. And he hushed me. He seemed to know that time was short. And he was a man that seemed to live that way. He challenged all the students. He challenged all the staff. Time is running out. There was a certain measure of urgency. And I love being around him. And he will be greatly missed. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. He would have said, mighty. Or powerful. And it was, what a blessing to hear you minister for your friend. I have the difficult part because everyone cries and then I have to try and get up and compose myself. But we thought so much of Clifford. What a great friend he has been to so many, even here. But I suppose his friendship probably was greatest with the gentleman behind me here, who was a great friend to Clifford, and Clifford a great friend to him. And so I'm going to ask our brother, Dr. William McCrae, is going to sing a piece that Clifford requested. I thought I had plenty of time, and we encourage you to listen to the words of this challenging piece. Thank you.
got up Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words that I heard time and again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. Oh, I knew he talked of mine, but I was young. I said, I've plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound. Is it to eternal darkness? Is it to the heavenly crown? But I'm just that young man, not even in my prime. So I'll just wait. You see, I've plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I used to live. I to beat the other fellow, I to get what life could give. Making money, oh, it's not sinful. Having fun, sure, it's not a crime. So I'll just wait. You see, I have plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I am bound. Is it to eternal darkness? Is it to the heavenly crown? I'm just that young man, not even in my prime. So I'll just wait. You see, I've plenty of time. Before I knew what happened, Earth seems had passed away, and millions stand before God's throne. It is the judgment day. Eternal darkness beckons, that name God calls. It's mine. But I thought, God, I have plenty of time. Eternity comes, oh, there is no more time. Just to think of all the days that Christ could have been mine. Opportunity gone forever, Earth's days they're left behind. And I thought I'd plenty of time. Yes, I said to my heart, you've plenty of time to decide where you're bound. Is it to eternal darkness? Or is it to the heavenly ground? You see, I'm just that young man, not even in my prime. So I'll just wait. I've plenty of time. Listen to these words. Eternity comes. Friend, you've got no more time. Just to think of all the days that Christ could have been thine. Opportunity gone forever, Earth's days you'll leave behind. There you'll be, and there is no eternity, and there is no more time.
appreciate Dr. McCrae's ministry in song. This part of the Thanksgiving service, I just want to express my own expressions of sympathy to the family circle of the late Mr. Clifford Black, to Norman, Johnny, Lorraine, David, to Nigel, to Marinda and to Orville, to their spouses, their children and their children's children. We extend to you our heartfelt Christian sympathies. We have been praying for you. I trust you know that. I know you do. And trust that you will experience God's comfort through the gospel, even in these days. I've been asked to express thanks on behalf of the family. I want to thank, first of all, Dr. Ian Brown, the session, the committee, and the caretaker of the Martyrs Memorial, a Free Presbyterian Church, for facilitating the funeral service today. Let me thank the media team also, who are broadcasting the service live on Sermon Audio and on Facebook Live, to Alistair, to Andrew, and to Matthew. We really do appreciate your help today. Thanks to the Reverend McKee and to Mr. Sidney Campbell for providing the music today. And then thanks to Helen and the staff of Desmond Waters Funeral Services for their professional help and care and service over recent days. The family have asked me to thank specifically the medical staff of Antrimaria Hospital, Lorn Health Centre and Pharmacy, Macmillan Cancer Care, and all friends and neighbours who supported Clifford down through these many years. They have also asked me to give thanks publicly to Dr. McCrae and to Reverend Stripp for their attentive and loving pastoral care over the recent days and weeks. And then thanks to all who have come to the Thanksgiving service, especially those who have travelled from afar. I know that your presence here today has been a great comfort to the family in their time of sorrow. Clifford Black was born on the 16th of April 1965 into the home of the late David and Mary Black. For 56 years, Clifford lived in the family home, and after the death of his mother, took to caring for his father, a duty that he carried out with tremendous diligence and self-sacrifice. Clifford was born again on the 8th of August 1993 in Lorn Mission Hall under the ministry of Pastor Ivan Thompson. I know that because it is in the inside of the cover of his Bible. Having been touched by God with regard to his MS, Clifford then invested the rest of his life in spreading the gospel far and wide. He evangelized places like South Armagh, the Ravenhill Road and the surrounding area of this particular church, into the glens of Antrim, Ballyclare, Bushmills, even helped me out doing a little outreach around Ballybreece up near Loch Fay for a gospel mission that I was conducting there. Fridays would always see Clifford at the gates of the City Hall, standing there for many years. He was the connection between the people inside the City Hall and then those men who would preach the gospel each Friday lunchtime outside Belfast City Hall. But he didn't just confine his work to Northern Ireland. No, Clifford had to go further. He had to go into the British mainland. He visited the Isle of Man. He also visited the city of Liverpool by conducting an outreach on Grand National Day. He went to the United States and he went as far as Puerto Rico. And so Clifford was well travelled in spreading the gospel. Clifford was most certainly unique. Once met, never forgotten. Never forgotten. He never had a down or a bad day. Ever. Never. When you ask people, they would normally be very honest with you and say that they're not having a great day. I never had that conversation with Clifford Black. He never had a bad day. He was always rejoicing, even despite even his difficulties. He would have done anything for you, anything that you asked. He would have done it for you without murmuring. I've been thinking about a few things that I'll miss about Clifford. I'll miss him speaking over the top rim of his glasses. I'll miss that. I often wonder, did he actually need the glasses? Because he spoke so often over the top of them. I'll miss with regard to Clifford, I'll miss him forgetting any kind of social distancing when he spoke with you. He certainly did like to get up close at times when he was speaking to you. I'll miss him trying the door of his house about 10 times before we ever left, just to make sure it was locked, and then doing the normal circuit of the car, checking every door, including the boot, to make sure it was locked before we would even go anywhere whenever we had parked up somewhere. I'll miss him telling me about the night that he went down the country to take the harvest service. Some individual had been there the year before and had told him that at the end of the service, the visiting speaker always got a brown bag. It was always handed over, containing the visiting speaker's expenses. Well, sure enough, whenever the meeting was over, brown bag was handed over. Up the road, well, curiosity killed Clifford, and so he pulled in, and with the weight off it, he thought that he had gained a fortune to help him out in his work for the Lord. And so he opened up the bag, and he found inside the bag, apples, oranges, and plums. You see, instead of going to the bank to lodge money, he had to go to the kitchen and make a fruit salad with regard to. He told that, I don't know how many times to me, the night that he got the bag of fruit. I'll miss him hanging up the phone before you were even able to say goodbye to him. Or I'll miss whenever I was speaking to him to be told mid-conversation that he had to go because some doctor of divinity was ringing from America, whether it was Dr. Sexton or Dr. Kingsbury or Dr. Daniels. I was put down the pecking order with regard to Clifford. I had to go. There were bigger fish to fry whenever other men came. I'll miss him taking 15 minutes to tell you something that could take someone else 30 seconds to tell. He got diverted as he spoke to you. He went down one line of thought and then another line of thought and then another line of thought. And then about 15 minutes later, he got back to his original point. I don't know if you know this, but Clifford liked to talk. Yeah. He seemed to have the ability of speaking without the need of actually taking a breath. I don't know how he did it. Many a time, Clifford brought me home from preaching. Remember one night I left Kilkeel, the journey's about an hour and a half, and he was still talking to me at Randallstown when I said, Clifford, I need to go because I'm going to pray here before I get home so then I can go to bed. I'll miss him taking forever to decide what food to order in a restaurant. If you've ever ate with Clifford, Clifford asked every conceivable question about a particular dish and then decided to go for the gammon, as he always decided to go for. You know, I'll miss him. I'll miss his prayers and his encouragement and friendship. And I'll miss him saying at the end of every phone conversation, keep rejoicing, brother. Keep rejoicing. You know, we can laugh, and I don't want it to be disrespectful, but Clifford really didn't want people to be weeping and doing what I'm doing at this present moment of time. He wanted it to be a praise service. This was Clifford. These things that I have said, this was Clifford Black. I was thinking of a verse of scripture. It was a verse that I shared with him a few weeks ago whenever I got down to see him. And he thought it was powerful. It's a verse in Proverbs 17, verse 17, and it says this: a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. To many, Clifford was that friend, and he was that brother. Thank God all those who are redeemed by Jesus' blood will meet Clifford in heaven someday. And if you know not him, the Saviour I speak of, then that's who we're here to think about today, the Saviour. Not Clifford, really, but his Saviour, because it was by God's grace Clifford Black was the man he was. I don't know if you noticed the photograph on the front. I'm sure you did. But his boat was called Free Indeed. And thank God Clifford today is free indeed. Never been freer than today in heaven with his Lord and with his Saviour. If you know not Clifford's Saviour or friend, then today, do not delay. Come to Christ and be saved and reconciled to God. We're going to have the Crown College Choir. That's how you're mentioned here, the Crown College Choir. They're going to sing again, "I want my life to count for Jesus." And surely Clifford lived up to that. And then immediately after that, we're going to hear God's word by Clifford's dear friend, Dr. William McRae. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Crown College, especially our brother Derek, for his words, and also the college for their ministry and song. Clifford certainly was very clear in the pieces that he wanted them to sing, that he was complete in Christ, and also he wanted his life to count for the Lord Jesus. I also want to thank our brother, Reverend Mr. Stewart, for leading the service. He was certainly a dear and personal friend to Clifford as well, and I know the family deeply appreciate the ministry that he has given to Clifford, especially even over these last number of weeks. I want to apologize for the non-attendance of the Reverend Greenfield. He wanted to be here, but he's taking part in another funeral, and so therefore he couldn't be with us, but he wanted certainly to pass that on. I also want to say a word of thanks to Joe and Roberta for the beautiful the leaflet that we have here, Order of Service, and it's certainly lovely, and the photograph is Clifford, certainly as we knew him best, and so therefore thank you very much indeed for doing that for him as something that you wanted to do for him specially. I want us to turn to the Word of God today, and certainly with our brother Stuart and each and every one of you, I join in extending my sincere sympathy to the family circle. I know that it has been a great comfort to have those that were able to come and minister to Clifford and be with him. But I want to pay tribute to the love that they did show to him and the care that they did give to him. And I know that he deeply appreciated that, because I know it because he told me. And therefore I can honestly say that to you, that he deeply appreciated all that was done for him. Especially over these last number of weeks, it certainly amazed him, just the love that was shown and the care and attention that was given to him. I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter number 16, and want to read from verse number 25. Let's hear the Word of God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been freed. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Perhaps we'll stand for a wee word of prayer, please. Let's just stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we come to thy precious word. We ask of thee that thou wilt give us help to minister thy word faithfully today. We thank thee and we praise thee that we have the eternal word of God. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that we have a word that we can rest upon and depend upon, because thy word is truth, and thy word is forever settled in heaven. Though heaven and earth may pass away, my word shall never pass away. And so, Lord, we can depend upon it today, and we can stand upon it and claim the promises therein. Bless thy word to our hearts now as we minister. We ask in Jesus' precious name that Christ alone will be glorified. For we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When our brother Clifford went to England for a break in the month of July, Little did he know, and little did any of us know, that when he would return, everything would change dramatically. Of course, the family know that some 28 years ago, his life was shaken, and theirs too, when they received the news that he was suffering from MS. But undaunted by that challenge, he cried to the Lord, and he told the Lord that if he would touch him, if God would touch him and heal him, that he would give the rest of his life to serve the Lord. You know, I've often said Clifford Black could have snowed to the Eskimos because he was that kind of a dealer. But he was willing to leave that all aside to serve the Lord Jesus. He handed me one day several of his albums of photographs. He had written in the month of July, I think, to the month of August, from 97 to 98. He and others with him handed out 1.1 million tracks in that one year. Clifford, you know, was the organizer. He was the connector. But there were many people that gathered round him, and there are those here today, and you are out on those track distributing days, and what a blessing it was, and thank God, God used it for the glory and the honor of the Savior's name. You know, Clifford kept his promise, because it's better not to vow than vow and not to pay. Since that time, he sought to serve the Lord, not only in tract distribution, but in personal witnessing, knocking the doors, the Ravenel Road, and many of the places here in this city, and many other places. He knocked the doors, taking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when he came home from England, he felt the pain. He rang me up, he told me, he's going to the doctor. And then the doctor sent him straight to the hospital. They thought it was gallstones, but they were going to check it anyhow. And then he rang me up after the doctor had left his bed in the hospital one day and says, "Brother, it's cancer." But you know, once again, it's all right. It's all in God's hands. I quoted to him the scriptures, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, Clifford, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And I said, "Clifford, I've got to trust the Lord for this." He never asked why he had cancer. He had a peace in his heart because he trusted in the Lord. And I want to pay tribute to the care, as our brother did, at Antrim Area Hospital, and to all the professionals in the health profession. Because let me say this, had Clifford Black had the biggest personal health count, he could not have received any better treatment. They treated him in every way with professionalism and expertise. I also thank the family for that love. But you know, with all of that, none of us could keep him here. Then one day he rang me up and he said to me, "Brother, I want you down here." I said, "Clifford, well, what for?" He says, "I want you down." He says, "I want you to get my funeral set out." And I came down, and Brenda, you were there when I came in through the door. And in actual fact, he says, "Brenda, you can go now. You can go now." And we sat down, and I said, "You know, Clifford, just because you have cancer doesn't mean that you're going to die now." He said, "I want it done now, and we're not stopping to get this done." And everything that's on that program and has happened throughout this day, Clifford Black told me, and I had put it down in the book, all that he wanted. And he said, "I don't want you to sit there, and I don't want them to mourn about me.
He says, it's not about me, it's about my Savior. He said, I want a prayer service. And he said, Crown College is going to come to sing, and you're going to sing, and the congregation's going to sing, and you're going to sing. Get them to sing out, because we're praising the Lord, because I'm safely home. I'm safely home with Jesus. Do you know what happened? Later on, brother, you know, because you came in the house one day, and I went out to the car and I brought the accordion in. We had a prayer service in Clifford's front room. And he sang and we sang and we sang hymn after hymn. And I only found it out afterwards. There were people standing out in the street and they were listening to our prayer service in Clifford's house. And he says, it's a touch of heaven. You know, I thought about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in prison. And yet the Word of God tells me that there in the darkness of that old prison, in verse number 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Listen, Paul and Silas, they had been beaten. Paul and Silas, their feet had been put on the stocks. Paul and Silas had been thrown into the inner dungeon, into the darkness, to be left there. The old jailer didn't care, and neither did anybody else. And in the darkness, for it said, at midnight, the darkest part of the night, you know what they did? They started to pray. And then they started to sing. They sang praises unto the Lord. Tell me, why could Paul and Silas sing in the midst of that trial? I'll tell you why. Because they knew they were in the center of the will of God. Even in the midst of their beatings, even in the midst of the opposition that was against them and the hatred that was given against them, they knew they were in the center of the will of God. How do I know? Because God sent them there. In the first place, the Macedonian call came, come over and help us. And thank God they knew that this was of the Lord, and immediately they went at the command of God. And even when they were in prison, they knew they were there in the center of God's will. That's the safest place to be, in the center of the will of God. But they knew something else, friend. They knew the Lord was with them. It doesn't matter who else forsakes you. It doesn't matter who else turns against you. If the Lord be for us, if God be for us, that's what Paul said in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is, listen, it doesn't matter who. We've got the Lord. And friend, when you come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the gospel of Christ in your heart, I'll tell you this, Clifford Black was kept going because the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him every day, even to the end. You know the last word he said? The last word he said on earth was just simply, amen. Amen. And that sums it up, friend. Lord, so let it be. Surrendering in everything to the will of God. Why did they sing praises? How could they sing praises? Because their joy was in the Lord, not in their circumstances. You know, there's some people, and their joys in their houses, or in their cars, or in their sport, or in their money, their possession. Let me tell you this. You're going to leave them all behind. A funeral procession was going down the road. A wealthy man was in the coffin. You know, everybody was interested what was left behind. And they asked him, I wonder what he left. Does anybody know? And this wee man steps forward and he says, I do. And boy, they gathered round him to hear. He says, he left all. And friend, that's it. And I don't care what you have, I don't care what your life's built upon, but there's coming a day that you're going to have to leave all behind. And the joy of Paul and Silas was not in their circumstances, but was in Christ. Fanny Crosby wrote so many beautiful hymns, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, and so many others. And a few months after she was born, a fever brought forth blindness. Fanny Crosby said this, "The loss of my physical sight, moving around in the darkness, God turned on a light in my soul." And friends, she didn't get angry with God. She didn't get bitter with God, no. She yielded to the will of God. And Paul and Silas sang praises. And when Clifford knew that he hadn't long to go, he had a prayer service in his own room. Tell me, what about you, friend? What about you? You know, the Word of God says this, we almost need to die. Now, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you have. You're going to leave, save the Lord's return, you're going to leave this old world someday. Maybe far quicker than you think. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day. A day. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me ask you a question. If that was your coffin, and God had called you to eternity. Now let's face it. Be honest with yourself. Not asking you to say it out. In your own heart, tell me, where would you be now? Where would your soul be? There's one of two places. You'll either be in heaven, thank God that's where Clifford is. Or if you're without Christ, you'll be in hell. And those in heaven will never want back. And those in hell will never get back. Now, where would you be? Because some of these days, it will be you. Maybe ours, I don't know. Thou knowest not what a year will bring forth. No, that's not what God said. Thou knowest not what a day, today, this day, may bring forth. And so we find that as they sang, God shook that prison. The prison doors opened. But you know, the old jailer thought that it was all up. Because had those prisoners been released that day, he would have been condemned to death. So he took the sword and he's about to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. That was another miracle. The prison doors open and not a prisoner left. And then the old jailer that had beaten and put Paul and Silas into that dungeon, he fell down at their feet. And this is what he said. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I thought of that question. But listen, that man was not ignorant of his need of salvation. He asked him, what must I do to be saved? He knew he needed to be saved, but he didn't know the way. How can I be saved? I returned from a trip to America My sister rang me. She said, my uncle or your uncle wants you to come and see him. The next day was the Lord's Day. This was in the early hours of that morning, rather. And I said, I'll go after this morning service. And I went down to see him. I sat down with him in the heart of County Tyrone at the Loch Shore. And he turned to me and he said, "Tell me, William, how can I be sure of heaven?" And I opened up the book, God's book. And I showed him the way. "Sirs, tell me, what must I do? What have I got to do to be saved? I need to be saved." You say to me, what did he mean? What did he mean when he said that this plea was, "What must I do to be saved? What is this saved business about?" Clifford Black was saved. Without apology, he declared it. He wanted people to be saved. He wanted his loved ones to be saved. He wanted his friends to be saved. That's why he knocked the doors in this town, in this city. He wanted people to be saved. What did he mean? Saved from what? The answer's in the book, friend. The angel said to Joseph concerning the birth of Christ, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people," listen, "from their sin." And friend, sin is the problem. Thank God, Christ is the answer. You know, this is, saves a Bible word. I never understand why preachers seem to be afraid to talk about it. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Spurgeon's text, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Saved from our sin. And I have to be faithful in the service today, because every one of us have that problem, sin. God says we're born in sin. Never had to teach a child to lie to you, did you? Did you ever have to teach a child to take something that didn't belong to you? Did they ever look into your face and you knew they were lying through their teeth? No, I didn't do it. You had to teach them ABC. You had to teach them to read. You had to teach them to write. But you never had to teach them to sin. Why? Because the nature in every man, were born in sin, with the nature of sin. And friend, that's serious. You know, whenever Clifford heard the word from the doctor, Clifford is not gallstones. It's cancer. Can you imagine what that moment was? But there's something more serious than cancer. It's our sin. Because our sin separates us from God forever, if it's not repented of and turned from. How can I be saved? How can I be saved from my sin? Here's the answer. Here's the plan. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say join the church. He didn't say be baptized. He didn't say be confirmed. He didn't say do the best you can. No. because salvation is not of ourselves. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Now, that's not simply a mental or intellectual assent to Christ. Believing on means to put your whole weight, rest your whole soul and your whole eternity upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon what Christ did for you upon the cross of Calvary. You come by faith to him. On the Lord Jesus Christ, for that's the only person can save you. I can. These men can. The church can. But thank God Jesus can. Jesus saves. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And maybe there's somebody sitting in this service today, and you're trying to get to heaven your way. I want to tell you, according to this book, you'll never be there. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in Christ alone. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Get this, must be saved. Not might be, must be. It's an imperative. And I say in the closing moments of this service, friend, in the preaching, if you want to get to heaven, there's only one way. Only one. Christ is the way. You've got to come as a sinner, lost, helpless, hopeless, on your way to a Christless hell, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Clifford Black did. And friend, if you want to meet Clifford again, there's only one way to do that. And that's come as Clifford did to the Savior. And thank God the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come, he'll save you. Because notice what it says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt, listen, be saved. Not might be, shall be. Shall be. It's dead on certain. That's why Fanny Crosby wrote, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, and I'm his. And I've been preaching, and I've been reading from Clifford's Bible that he gave me. As we sat in the home, and we opened it together, and it was all underlined. He says, you know, when I was told I had MS, and when I couldn't really move around, I just lay in bed and I just read the scriptures. A mother said to me one day, she says, Clifford, do you think you're going to be a missionary? Well, he served the Lord. Why? Because he knew the Lord as his Savior. And friend Clifford would say to you today, meet me there. When the storms of life are over, meet me there. And don't delay. Don't put salvation off to another day, friend. Because God says, boast not yourself of tomorrow. This could be the last service you'll ever sit in. And then God call. Tell me. where will you be? Heaven with Christ. God forbid, in hell without him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word today. We thank thee that thou hast provided in thy Son a wonderful Savior, the only Savior. We thank thee we can sing, yes, Jesus saves. He really does. Even this day, even now, Lord, bring some soul to Jesus. Give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord. And they shall be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank and adore and pray for the Word of God as it has been preached, and may God use it to speak to your heart if you know not yet Christ as your Savior. We're going to sing our final hymn on the order of service, and whenever that has concluded, we invite you to continue to stand. Dr. Brown will then bring the meeting to a close by the closing prayer, and then continue to stand as the earthly remains of God's servant are taken from the building. And so we're going to stand and sing, "When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me." We'll stand to sing when we get a number of bars of music, please.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this service that has been held for our brother. We thank thee that it has been to his specification. It has been a reflection of his life and of his testimony. And it has been about his Savior. Amen. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the one and the only one who can see. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We thank thee even for a glimpse today of the Bible that he read, that revealed Christ to him. Amen. Think of that little chorus that is probably well outdated now in many ways and not often sung, but I'm acquainted with the author. And I know God's word is true. In times of grief, it brings relief and tells me what to do. How I dearly love its pages. For I find the rock of ages. I'm acquainted with the author, and I know it's true. Amen. And Father, we thank thee that every stamp that he left through his life, it said exactly this: we have found him, the Messiah, the Christ. And how he longed that others should be led to know him too. May it be that today this will be the day when some will pass from spiritual death to life, into the power and through the energy and saving strength of the Lord, our great Redeemer. There's a family, and they're feeling loss today. They're knowing the grief of parting. We think of the words that ask, is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. And to that question comes the answer, yes, there's one, only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When those waves of trial roll, when affliction hits the soul, you need a friend to help you. He's the one. Lord, may all eyes be fastened on him today for conversion, for courage, for compassion, for consolation. Take our eyes to Christ as Clifford would have wanted. Focus our minds on him. And may we see in him the altogether lovely one who came, who bled and died for our salvation. And so that we, like Clifford, may leave this scene of time in triumph, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In Jesus' name and to his praise, we ask these things. Amen.
Just going to remain standing, and Clifford is going to be taken from the Lord's house. As we remain standing, I'd ask the choir just to come forward here, and we're going to sing a verse as he's leaving, and it is, there is coming a day, what a day, glorious day that will be. And if you know it, join in, we'll sing that verse, just that, and there is coming a day. But just as our friends are ready to take our brother, and we'll just wait until they're ready to go down. And then we're travelling straight away. We're just leaving immediately, and we're travelling straight down to the burial churchyard there, St. Mary's, down at Conlaw. Thank you.
There is see.